Fuzzy TV.
Greetings, everyone. This is not the thorough treatment I promised you, but I am going to touch on this topic of a new book published by Clyde Pilkington called Will We Escape Death? In short, his answer is no. No one will escape death. Everyone will die. Everyone must die, including members of the body of Christ, of whom Paul said, we shall not all be put to repose. And the boldness of someone who can go directly up against the Apostle Paul and deny his plain words is startling, it's shocking, and if anybody's been shaken by this, I am here to let you know that this is being published by a man who is not careful, who has made, over the years, several careless interpretations on various topics, obviously careless, which I will be going through next week, one at a time, to show you that you can joyfully have no confidence in Clyde's assertion that we all have to die. If I may, and there's a advertisement that Clyde worked up for this book. The book is called Will We Escape Death? It's an audio, and it's a 2 minute and 4 second audio. I'm going to play that, and I'm going to comment upon it. But first, because, like I said, I don't have to read the book. I do want to read the book. If anyone has it and they can send me a transcript of it, that would be great. Otherwise, I'll order it myself. But I know enough to know what this is about. I know why Clyde doesn't believe Paul's plain statement in 1 Corinthians 15:51 is that he thinks everything Paul wrote nothing Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians applies to us. So that's problematic, as I shall show you. But let's go right now to chapter 4, verse 13. Now, we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, not knowing this, not knowing what Paul's about to say, is the definition of ignorance. We do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are reposing. What does that mean? Those who are taking a nap? Those who haven't gotten up yet? Those who had a late night? They're still sleeping? No. Those who have died. We're going to see that. We don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who are reposing, lest you may sorrow according as the rest also who have no expectation. Nobody cries or sorrows or mourns when someone's taking a nap. For if we are believing that Jesus died and rose, thus also those who are put to repose will God through Christ lead forth together with them. From a nap? From a late morning's slumber? No. From death. For this we are saying to you by the word of the Lord, that we, the living, I know this is elementary, but apparently we have to go back to the ABCs here, because some are being seduced away from their expectation and from the truth by expositional foolishness and carelessness. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose, thus also those who are put to repose will God through Jesus lead forth together with him. For this we are saying to you by the word of the Lord, that we, the living, who are surviving to the presence of the Lord, should by no means outstrip those who are put to repose. So if there's any question about what repose is in this context, it's contrasted with we, the living. There's those who are put to repose, and then there's we, the living. So obviously those who are put to repose are the dead. And this is beyond question. I don't even know why I have to do this. I don't have to do it for you. But maybe some of you are being shaken by Clyde Pilkington's teaching that the snatching away is not for us. He does not believe. Clyde does not believe in the snatching away. He does not believe that there will be members of the body of Christ who will be alive at the time of Jesus' return in the air, and who will be made immortal on their feet to join the dead in Christ who have risen first. Clyde does not believe that. He thinks that's part of a bygone era, which is a little confusing, because did this happen to somebody in the past? See, Clyde makes this magical line that doesn't exist in reality at Acts 28:28, when Paul says that to the nations was dispatched this gospel and they will hear it. they somehow, the people who believe that there's a new body of Christ started at that point. That's what they believe, that there's a new body of Christ started at that point. They ignore the presence of the Word. This is all unbelievable. The Word was to the nations was dispatched. This evangel was, and they shall be hearing. They heard then, and they will continue to be hearing. The nations will, that is. So it's incredible with that point alone. Absolutely incredible. And so this verse in 1 Thessalonians, it either happened to somebody else in the past, or it's never going to happen, but it sure as heck isn't going to happen to us. Because according to Clyde, everyone must die. No one can become immortal without first dying. Show me the scripture. Show me the scripture. I have a scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:51, which says the exact opposite, and I'm going to go to that scripture after I finish this. Thereupon we, the living who are surviving, shall at the same time be snatched away together with them in clouds. The dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ, as being compared with those who are living, those surviving to the presence of the Lord. We know this. This is plain teaching. When the Lord comes, there are going to be those who are still alive on the earth. And this is a problem. And Paul solves it so graciously, because the question can be asked, well, when the return of Christ happens, the secret return of Christ for the body of Christ, this is not his return to the Mount of Olives. This is his secret return for the body of Christ. Clyde does not believe Jesus is going to return for the body of Christ. Nope, he's not going to do it. And he calls us foolish. He calls anyone foolish. He says we're wasting our time to be looking for Christ. That's a quote, and I'm going to show you that quote probably next week. You're wasting your time to be looking for Christ. Yep, that's what the man says. This is the man that says everyone must die. You cannot be made immortal without dying. Well, apparently you can. It's the exception, not the rule. But Paul is very plain here, isn't he? The Lord himself will be descending from heaven with a shout of command, the voice of the chief messenger with a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall be rising first. Those who are put to repose. Paul here calls them dead. Dead in Christ. There you go. We should by no means outstrip, that is, do better than, come before those who are put to repose. Who are those who are put to repose? The dead in Christ shall be rising first. That's why we will not outstrip them. The dead in Christ will be rising first. Let me repeat that. The dead in Christ shall be rising first. Thereupon we, the living, that is, those who have not been put to repose, who are surviving, shall at the same time be snatched away together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Does it say here anywhere that we will die first? No, it doesn't. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Let's start with verse 50. This I am averring, brethren, that is stating forcefully, that flesh and blood is not able to enjoy an allotment in the kingdom of God, neither is corruption enjoying the allotment of incorruption. So something has to happen. There has to be a change between corruption and incorruption. And that change is the breath of God. It's a spiritual movement that's going to happen in an instant. Paul says this now. This is very profound. Verse 51, lo, a secret to you am I telling. This has never been revealed before. We all indeed shall not be put to repose. We shall not be put to repose. We all indeed shall not. Not all of us will die. King James says we shall not all die. Concordant, we shall not all be put to repose. And we found out, without a doubt, from 1 Thessalonians 4, which is a parallel passage, that putting to repose is death. We shall not all be put to repose, yet we all shall be changed. The dead and the living both shall be changed. How does that happen? Paul graciously explains it to us in very simple language. It'll happen in an instant, atomos, Greek word there, smallest particle of time, in the casting of an eye at the last trump. The dead will hear the trump. The living will cast their eye toward Christ, for he will be trumpeting, and the dead will be roused incorruptible. And we, that is, the living, those who have not been put to repose, we shall be changed. Does it say we shall die and then be changed? No, we shall be changed because we shall not all die. And the audacity of my friend to say, yes, we shall all die, we must all die. This is a dinosaur passage. This belongs to another body of Christ. I have to keep saying this. Clyde believes that there are two bodies of Christ. An extinct one to whom Paul wrote in his early letters that was it were Israelites. They were Israelites. Paul was writing to Israelites in Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Stephen Hill, Clyde's protege, actually told me one time that Paul is writing mainly to Israelites in the book of Romans. Well, go to Romans chapter 16 and read all those Israelite names. They're all Greek. Every single name Paul mentions is Greek. 99%. It's an elaborate lie, an elaborate hoax to try to explain why Paul uses some Israelite language in his early letters. He does have some Jews listening into his message, but Paul, from the get-go, is the apostle to the nations. He states that very early in his ministry. There's no magic line at Acts 28:28. The magic line is in Acts 9, when Paul is called, Saul is called on the road to Damascus. He becomes the first member of the body of Christ. Christ says, I'm going to send you to the nations, and that's exactly what he does, and his ministry begins in earnest in Acts chapter 13. And so, every single letter Paul wrote, with the exception of Hebrews, was written to the body of Christ. Clyde Pilkington and others, shockingly enough, believe that there's this new body of Christ that forms after Paul is in prison in Acts 28:28. If you can't figure it out, don't feel bad. It's a clusterfuck, okay? I have strained to try to see where they're coming from. They just don't like this Israelite language early in Paul and Paul's ministry, and in order to explain it, they just blow it up. That's like saying, we don't like the fact that there's a Jewish restaurant over here and that there's a Jewish laundromat over there in this town. So tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to blow up the whole city. We're going to blow up the whole city. You're going to what? Yeah, we're just going to relegate all of Paul's early letters to the Jews. And therefore, we're going to get rid of 1 Corinthians. That's why Clyde doesn't believe this. We're going to get rid of 1 Thessalonians, early letters, you see, before Paul was in prison. Nobody even knows for sure which letters Paul wrote from prison. Nobody knows for sure. We shall all be changed. Now, let me ask you, if this verse, and we're going to get into this when I go through this audio, this 2-minute and 4-second advertisement. I'm not going to do it today. I have time issues. I'm not going to do it today. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm just going to analyze this advertisement. I don't know if this is AI-produced advertisement. I don't know, but wait until you hear this advertisement. And if somebody could send me the transcript of Clyde's book right away, that would be great. I don't know how you would do that or how you would get a hold of it, but in the meantime, I'll order it, okay? And then we're going to go through it. But I get enough out of this 2-minute advertisement to know where this is going and what this is about and the audacity of it. To take away your expectation? True, some of us may die. We don't know when exactly the Lord is going to return, and we don't know when exactly we are appointed to die. But all I know is some people are not appointed to die. Some members of the body of Christ are not appointed to die. Maybe it's you, maybe it's me. We think it is. We think it is us. Do we know 100% for sure? No, we don't. I could die tomorrow. And then I'll be raised first. Great. Okay, good. Fine. But I'd rather be alive. I don't want to go through death. But my wish to not go through death does not make this true. What makes it true is that Paul is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And 1 Corinthians is written to the body of Christ, the present body of Christ, the only body of Christ. There's only been one body of Christ. There's not an early body of Christ consisting of mostly Israelites that has gone extinct with the dodo birds and the dinosaurs. No, no, no. And then some new, mature body of Christ that only Paul's prison epistles are addressing, even though nobody knows exactly which letters Paul wrote from prison. That would be essential information, wouldn't it? If this new mature body of Christ, this new species of body of Christ is so special and so necessary to understand, you would think that the scriptures would tell us, okay, no, these letters were written after Paul was in prison. And again, it's all based on what, on like, to the nations was sent this message, was sent, and they will hear it. Some reason they transpose that was to will be, to the nations will be. And like Paul begins his ministry right there when he's an old man with 3 years left to his life. He's finally picking up the mantle of the mission Christ gave him to go to the nations. No, this is an absurdity. And I believe, as I've said before, what's the motivation of this? I believe the motivation is that some people want to die. I had a brother tell me who was glomming onto this lie. He said, you know, Martin, I've always had this instinct that I was going to die. I always had this feeling that I was going to die. I said, oh, okay, whatever. What does that have to do with the truth? What does that have to do with anything? But this man was putting weight on it. He was putting weight on that, on some instinct, some dream, some feeling he had. You know how much weight I put on feelings. But this was coming from a saint. I go, what the hell? I've never heard anything like this. And so Clyde comes along and says, hey, we all must die. And this guy melts. Oh, my lover is here. Thank you. You confirmed this wonderful feeling I have that I'm going to die. You're telling me I'm going to die because I read this verse from Paul that said, we shall not all die. And that troubled me because I just had this instinct that I was going to die. I read that Paul said I might not die. I can't imagine not dying. That would just ruin all my hopes and dreams for myself. I just can't imagine it. So I'm not going to believe it. Now, finally, here's a man teaching to me. Here's a man teaching, tickling my hearing, but I just couldn't escape this 1 Corinthians 15:51. We shall not all be put to repose. That just crashed against my intuition, my spiritual sensibilities, my self-invented spiritual sensibility. So that's the kind of thing we're dealing with here. That's the kind of thing we're dealing with here. But to me, this is good news. To you, this is good news because we hope that it's us. We don't know, but we hope it is. But we're happy that it's going to be for somebody. That's our expectation. When I say that this sick book is taking away our expectation, I don't mean that we expect to be the ones that are alive when the Lord returns. I think we will be. But it's that the truth itself is our expectation, that we shall not all be put to repose. Paul said the truth. He was one who was put to repose. But he knew that we shall not all be put to repose. Paul knew it. He taught it as a fact, as a truth. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality. That's verse 53. Is that verse extinct? Which part of 1 Corinthians is Clyde going to accept and reject? If he's rejecting this, he seems like he would have to reject all the rest. Verse 42. The body is sown in corruption, roused in incorruption. Is that not true? It is sown in dishonor, roused in glory. I guess that's not true because it's written to the old body of Christ. Doesn't apply to us anymore. If there's a soulish body, there's a spiritual body also. Why would that be true and 8 verses later not be true? According as we wear the image of the soilish, we should be wearing the image of the celestial also. Does Clyde reject that? Let me hear a book how we will not wear the image of the celestial. We will not be raised in honor. Let me hear all these other passages in the same context disavowed. But no, he's just going to disavow this one thing. You know why? Because there's some people who want to die. There's some people who want to live their life. There are some people who don't want to leave this earth. They're happy here. They love their families. They love their habits. They love their ruts. They love being a family men, family women, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers. They're very comfortable here. And they will search far and wide. And they'll even squint and just twist all kinds of scriptures in order to please let me live a long life on this earth. Please let me live a long life on this earth. But wouldn't you rather be snatched away with Christ, as this verse says, and 1 Corinthians 4:13? Wouldn't you rather that? No, I really wouldn't rather that. I'd rather just live my life here because it sounds kind of scary. It sounds like not everybody's going to go. Only members of the body of Christ are going to go. And I know some of my family members that aren't members of the body of Christ, so I'm scared of this. I don't want to face it. I just want to lead a mild and quiet life as long as I possibly can. I want to be put to repose with my fathers. I want to die. I want my head to be in the coffin, my whole body to be laying, people to visit me at the funeral home. That's my hope. That's my dream. That's my expectation. Don't ruin it, Paul. Stop ruining my sicko funeral home expectation.